Hello and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast, where we dive into all things software automation. I'm your host, Nandan Mullakra. While I'm not podcasting, I write articles on nandan.info. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it. Today we have Shiva Jutturi. Shiva is the head of sales and operations for Automation Edge in the Americas region. Automation Edge is a hyper-automation platform with RPA service, API connectors, chatbots, ETL, and more. They are truly cloud-based RPA service that offers transparent consumption-based pricing, including a free plan. In this chat, we discuss the history of the company, their RPA service offering, chatbots, ETL, and much more. Let's listen in. Hi, Shiva. Hello, and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast. Thanks for taking time to be with us today. So can we start with a quick personal intro about yourself?
Sure, Nandan. Thanks once again for giving me the opportunity to talk to you. You've been an amazing blogger, thought leader on the automation space. So it's a privilege and honor to be part of this podcast. So my name is Shiva Jutturi. I'm head of sales and operations for Automation Edge, which is a leading hyper-automation platform. Based in Houston, Texas, I cover North America and Latin America regions for Automation Edge. I have a background of pretty much software all along. I did my engineering from REC Warangal way back in 87-91 BTEC for the first beach batches from RECW. Now they're called NITs. Then I worked for a few years in India. Then I came over to US in 93. And then started my career in consulting with consulting gigs with HCL, Satyam, Keen Consulting, and so on and so forth. Then over the last 10 years back, I moved to product, which is I joined BMC Software. And that's where I got the view of the world and from a product standpoint and value for customers in terms of, in terms of how a software solution can provide the core value and the whole product lifecycle. So my combination of consulting and then product experience across implementation of customers, and then eventually moved into a sales role over, I think, probably about 7 years back and took the helm of Automation Edge about 4 years back since we started. And I'm managing Americas for Automation Edge.
Excellent. Quite an illustrious career there. So great to know. And it's been good to know you, Shiva. So about the that's your journey, and along the way, I know you've been you and your parent company have been involved with BMC and things, and I think it has evolved into an automation company, Automation Edge. So can you tell us some history about Automation Edge itself?
Yes, sure. It's actually a very interesting journey. I never dreamt or even thought that in my career, we will launch a product company. So we were just running with our services company, which is called Vyom Labs. Vyom means universe. So okay. We were happy with being very niche services company, and we called ourselves Labs because of that niche we bring to the table in terms of our own IP that's created on top of others, OEMs. Like BMC and service management. So we were on an offsite, I think it was 2015 or 16, in Garudamachi, which is the Western Ghats of Pune, Maharashtra. Mm-hmm. We were up there, talking about next year business plan. Our CEO and co-founder, Uday Birajdar, came up with this idea saying we're doing this large customer implementations primarily around ITSM, BMC or other solutions. Why not we just add automation to that portfolio and create something that is on our own? We already have some add-on accelerators from right. ITSM. And that's how the product was born. We initially created a script-based solution, PowerShell and other, and then offered them to our customers as utilities, and then call it as ITPA and so on and so forth. But then we saw RPA just coming out from nowhere over the last 5-6 years. So we just added RPA capabilities, ETL, and so on and so forth. And then, you know, the analysts recognized us. Gartner put us on Magic Quadrant, their hype cycle reports. And we were already designed as hyper-automation because, unlike others, because we already started with connector-based technology in our solution. So, and hyper-automation includes that, right? So if you do the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So that was the added advantage. When hyper-automation came out from Gartner last year, we were already designed and architected for hyper-automation. Now we are, you know, across the world, and we are really gaining traction because of our unique differentiators. And rest is history.
Wow, excellent, excellent. So the platform itself, I mean, it's interesting that you had like connectors and iPaaS, and then, you know, it's and then you added RPA. And you know, and most of these people, you know, started as scripts, right? Like UiPath themselves were providing automation libraries, and everyone, even automation anywhere, UiPath. So from your perspective, the platform has evolved, right? Now I see that you also have an RPA as a service offering. So can you tell us about the platform that you have now and what you offer, and you know, what does it address specifically?
Yeah, great question, Nandan. Yeah, so right at the outset, we wanted to make sure that we bundle in our solution something very unique, because we know that you know, the other competitors will pretty much run with core RPA-based or script-based, like you said, or UI automation screen scraping-based technology and front-ending that with the customer, because it's a very easy sell. It's commoditized. So we were the first ones to actually launch cloud-based offering when it comes to having the solution being available as a SaaS, so that, you know, we can get started with the automation journey with the customers pretty rapidly. So once we did that, we already saw that that adoption was really fast. Almost 50%, more than 50% of our customers today, they use our cloud-based solution. And that was launched 3 years back. And then we realized that not only that, you know, there is very high upfront loaded cost for customers, for other competitors when it comes to the licensing model. So we quickly turned around cloud-based model to also have metrics behind it, to have usage-based. And that's where we said, you know, why don't we have some offering around treating this as a service as opposed to or a solution, you know, which is already prepackaged, as opposed to selling it as software. And customers don't like, you know, tool and other conversations. So if you see the evolution also in 90s, it was all perpetual based licensing model. 2000, it moved beyond, after millennium, it moved to cloud-based. And now it is pretty much, you know, usage-based. And you see a lot of other vendors already, if you see the infrastructure service providers like Amazon or Microsoft, they're already using this model on the infrastructure side. So why not even for software? And we were the early adopters of this, and we're really, really getting a lot of traction. And that's what we call it ourselves as RPaaS based solution, which is more, we call it as product-led growth rather than sales-led or marketing-led growth, where the product experience itself, where and then the consumption model behind kind of using as an accelerator for the customers to go for the automation journey.
Excellent. And I think that's one of the aspects I like about your product is, you know, it's futuristic. It is, you know, you even have a free version, right? You have a free plan, and then you can keep growing with it. And that's unlike, you know, cloud native and other thing that people claim, it's actually a cloud-based solution, which people can use and find out before they can scale up, right? So I think that that's great. And so from an industry perspective, are there specific industries where you're finding more traction? Where are you finding the best use for your RPA as a service?
So like any other RPA journey, if you talk specifically about RPA, if you see the footprint really got established very fast across services-based organizations or services-based sectors, like banking, insurance, financial services. So we saw the same trend, but we also saw a parallel trend where we had, because of we were very strong on the IT side of the automation, because our product was incubated, we saw that across the board, and ITSM or IT services were part of any organization, you know, whether it, irrespective of the size or the vertical. So we made sure that when we got that early success, we built some accelerators alongside while we were doing the customer implementations. And for example, in BFSI sector and banking, we have things like onboarding, you know, reconciliation of transactions between, you know, ATM, SWIFT to the banks. Similarly, AML, which is big use case for us, which is anti-money laundering, which is, you know, doing the entity list screening. And then we have something around contact center, you know, email contact center. We kind of package it as an end-to-end solution as a set of bots, which we could we package it. Similarly, in the insurance sector, we found that we have standard use cases like quote generation, payouts, you know, chatbots. And I'm going to talk more about chatbots as we go, is that for underwriters, you know, instead of using physical human resources to do the underwriter job, these chatbots are able to interact with the end users. And that's not only our prospects, not only is enabling the customers to, you know, reduce the cost from a human cost, a labor cost perspective, but also they're able to reach to newer markets because these chatbots can interface with irrespective of the region or tier that region. So that means it's directly shooting up their top line. And that's what customers liked about our insurance chatbot for underwriters. Another sector was healthcare, which really picked up during the COVID over the last 2 years for us across the board. As you know, healthcare is primarily divided into payers and providers. We saw the growth in both sectors. Payers primarily focused specifically around claims management, which is a big use case. There's a lot of revenue leakage that's happening, especially COVID has spiked that, where it's being some of the claims is being abused by across the board in the ecosystem. And the providers, patient scheduling, onboarding, offboarding of clinician staff, etc. And ITPA, as you know, standard use cases like, you know, onboarding employees, provisioning, both for end user requests as well as for the infrastructure stack, you know, servers, cloud workloads, network storage, etc. And we're seeing more and more self-service. So across all these verticals, so we are making sure that our chatbot or a conversational framework either integrates with the leading conversational platforms like Slack and others, but also we have our own native chatbot solution. So that whatever you know, requests that customers are end users are expecting, you know, they are being fulfilled either through a knowledge management solution or end-to-end remediation or provisioning or fulfillment that we can do through our bots.
Oh, great. So across industries, I think you mentioned multiple industries, right? Healthcare, IT. Most interesting thing I noticed is what you spoke about chatbots. You know, chatbots and voice assistants probably is a user interface for the future, right? And so you're having an immersive experience as well as a very flexible experience, which nowadays is pretty easy to create, right? And especially with your chatbot or Slack or, you know, the Facebook Messenger. So how do you see that evolving? Because I'm interested in that part of how the automation would evolve, because there's a lot of vendors, many vendors out there, especially the DPA vendors, they sell it as apps. They say that you have to create apps for yourself. And you know, I've seen that people create screens out there, and then a lot of it is, one is a screen is created, it's out there, and you need to go up to a screen and interact with it. And the second part is that screens, when you're creating it, there's a lot of gold plating happening, because users come and say, no, I want this drop down, I want this thing, that thing, right? Whereas a chatbot, that's not there. It's instantaneous. Whenever people need it, we ping them, get the data, and do our processing, right? So how do you see that evolving? I mean, the whole chatbot, you said we'll speak a little bit more about it. So go ahead. So how can chatbots help with this evolution of automation?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. I think what we did was, unlike our competitors, again, you know, we thought that chatbot should be part of our hyper automation play.
Right.
Because we know that it's a game changer for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we made sure that our AI, ML, and NLP engine is part of that story, so that any conversation that a customer or end user has with our platform, you know, has a way of interpreting that. And that includes not only the language support, we support core languages like English and Spanish and others in terms of the conversational experience. And second is the ability to understand from that conversation the two key components of a conversation, the intent and the entities. Right. So what we started doing was, from our customer implementations, especially let's say on the ITPS side, I'll just use that as an analogy, we started ingesting all the typical tickets information. Let's say there are hundreds and millions of tickets that are coming across multiple customers. Of course, we are going to mask the customer sensitive data, but that we were able to get the type and the categories that end users are requesting for a typical IT service or IT support, for example. So when we ingest that into our AI, ML, and the NLP engine, we are able to already create some kind of a graphical view saying that if this type of request comes, our NLP engine will be able to interpret that right off the bat and ask a response to the customer for additional information and narrow it down to what they're looking for from a information or the action that they are looking for. So that way, our framework has become really very, very concrete and extensible to be able to interface with the others. And we are seeing some of our customers, for example, are using it. One of the beer manufacturers in APAC is using it over WhatsApp. Because WhatsApp is being used, you mentioned about Facebook Messenger. WhatsApp is being used now for business conversations and transactions also, where we are asking for information around the, for example, the order, and then there are documents being exchanged over the WhatsApp conversation, and our OCR engine, which we don't call OCR, we have packaged it as DDE or IDDE, Intelligent Document Digitization and Extraction. It's a separate engine, similar to a chatbot, and chatbot, we call it as Cognibot. So between these two, Cognibot and IDDE, we are able to take the specific conversational request and then fulfill the requirement all the way end to end, so that the customer experience is fully fulfilled from not only from inquiry but also fulfillment. Because we can leverage, once we exactly narrow down what type of action the customer is expecting, we can trigger our workflow engine to fulfill the need. So for this beer manufacturer, we are completely fulfilling the order management cycle for a typical end customer. Similarly, there's another insurance customer where right from quote generation to signing up for a specific fire insurance quote, to actually the customer initiating a check payment. So they scan the check and put the image in the conversation, and then we are able to process the check with the payment gateway and the bank transaction. So those are very, very sophisticated use cases we are working with customers today.
Right. And so you mentioned document processing with AI. That's a very important area because, 80% of the data is in such unstructured document, unstructured formats, right? So Cognibot for chat, you said, and then you mentioned about document processing bot. What else do you have?
Yeah, so those are one of the key components which are more forward looking, because if you see the core platform that Automation Edge brings out of the box, right? We represent as a wheel, and the wheel has primarily four areas. First area is the traditional RPA, which has got screen scraping, UI automation, both for web as well as desktop automation for thick clients, including Citrix. For example, healthcare, you see most of the EMR, EHR systems like Epic, Allscripts, or HomeCare Homebase, they are behind the firewall, and the only way you can access is through Citrix. So we made sure that that is enabled. The second area is ITPA, which is we are the strongest in that area because we have signed principal vendor partnerships to have Automation Edge listed with their marketplaces. For example, ServiceNow is the leading ITSM platform. We have that listed within their store, BMC Marketplace, Cherwell, Avanti, top 10 service management solutions, we are already certified. So all the workload for IT today, which is the cost center, and CIO is a big headache to manage those costs with humans or service desk technicians at the back end, we are able to quickly, rapidly automate those. One of our largest bank in Dubai, they are using it, and 50-60% of their tickets are being automated through our ITPA bots. The third area is our iPaaS, which comes with out-of-the-box ready connectors, okay. 500 ready connectors, and that's where when we incubated the product, we made sure those connectors are available wherever their REST APIs are available. And these connectors, even if they're not available in the rich library today, every 2 weeks we upgrade it. We upgrade it, and there's a sync from our Process Studio, which is the workflow engine. So if an action is missing or the underlying system upgrades itself, let's say Salesforce connectors, there's an upgrade, or ServiceNow or Office 365, et cetera, or AWS, we made sure that's current. And then if a partner or a customer wants to add more plugins, we give that flexibility through something called Plugin Builder. Within days, you can create a plugin, create a wrapper, and insert it into the repository.
Okay.
To use it in plug and play. And the last but not the least, I talked about the cognitive capabilities with IDDE, with document extraction, with Cognibot. We have our own AI ML engine for self-healing, self-correction, and we can train and have learning against especially if you see document management, customers have no standardization when it comes to vendors sending invoices, right? Mm-hmm. And we see that if they are dealing with 500 vendors, there are 500 different templates for the invoices.
Absolutely.
So how does your document solution manage that? So our AI ML engine against that has the ability to auto-create the templates, and we just need to verify it once, and then next time the same document comes, it's able to process. So that's another thing that we have solved. And we are the only ones which has the native ETL engine to do large data processing. And our engine supports parallel processing and multi-threading. So the total cost of ownership for a customer is very low. They go for an on-prem solution compared to the competitors. We're talking about 5 to 10x cost advantages when it comes to deploying it for an on-prem solution. So those are all the things that are there, and we are really, really gearing up for the next big, wave for Automation Edge to really with all these new offerings.
Yeah, and I wanted to. We need to talk about the next wave, but before that, I just wanted to ask you about that ETL that you mentioned.
Sure.
Just for listeners, what are some use cases for ETL that you're seeing with RPA?
Sure. So I can talk about ETL from a healthcare perspective.
Okay.
So one of our customers, it's a group healthcare service provider for pain care based in Austin. Mm-hmm. And they get e-faxes on some of the patient's information. And we are able to use ETL primarily, where we are able to first is apply OCR through our IDDE and then extract the data. Now, once the data is extracted, we have to push that data into the service provider's core systems, whether it's patient management or caregiving. If it has to be a referral to go into another service provider from this physician to a specialist. So we are able to use the ETL to kind of, based on the target system, once the data is extracted, to apply some business rules and then transfer it. Second thing is also verifying that against the insurance service provider, right? So insurance service provider expects that data to be in a different format. All the codes that the healthcare payers want for the claims part, we have to again use that information for the patient and the service provided. So we use that ETL engine natively, especially, for example, Excel processing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excel is still front and center of our life, and it's not going to go away. We thought Excel will go away, but it's been there for, right from our grandfather's days. So how we use Excel is very unique. We don't use Excel's license also.
Mm-hmm.
In our ETL engine, we are able to go and process using native Excel APIs, because we have those Excel connectors with our ETL engine, and we are able to process through a parallel processing engine multiple data sets within the Excel sheet. If an Excel sheet has 65,000 rows, we don't have to process sequentially. We can take chunks of data in parallel and process it so that the performance is also achieved. So those are some of the capabilities of the ETL engine.
Wow, excellent. Okay, yeah, and absolutely, Excel is something I think many people still use, and still people are developing no-code solutions using spreadsheets as a basis. So from an automation edge perspective, you spoke of the next wave. So what are the things that you're looking forward to as part of your roadmap?
Yeah, so we are definitely looking, we just launched a few months back our consumption-based called RPaaS. We're getting a lot of traction in that just by virtue of that switch in terms of our licensing and the customer experience. So that is one thing that we're going to double down on the market. We are the only ones which provide that, because for others, it is cannibalizing their revenue because they're cashing in on, very high upfront capital investment for their licenses, whether it's bot-based or whether it is tool-based conversation, like controller and developer and studio, all that. Second thing is we are now making it as a packaged offering when it comes to, instead of selling it as a point solution, just taking that hyper-automation theme, right? So if we combine all the capabilities into one package solution, for example, customers can leverage saying, you get everything, no charge for the tools. So Cognibot, IDDE, and all the other capabilities, including our ML AI engine, combined as a package, if you want to purchase, we are putting a price tag to it with unlimited usage.
Oh, excellent.
So at some point, if RPaaS kind of the cost of RPaaS as the usage goes high and high, we were giving that flexibility to the customer to just go for a package pricing model, which still gives all the capabilities of our solution for any use case across the enterprise, but they still have a fixed price tag.
Correct.
So that's one more licensing model that we are rolling out.
Okay.
And then in terms of product capabilities, we're going to continue to enhance our Cognibot, IDDE, to support, more languages, more use cases. Other thing we are doing is we are going to have our enhanced bot store with ready use cases.
Okay.
Because customers don't want that upfront cost for services, whether it's done by us or our partners. They want really something that is already available out of the box. So we are deploying now ready packaged workflows, which are there, which just require minimal tweaking.
Okay.
And that's where I think you alluded to low code, pro code, or no code. So we have the spectrum of both citizen developer experience when it comes to rapidly building the bots with our hyper automation. And then at the same time, netizen developer. Now I call it as netizen developer. Probably I introduced this term for the first time. The netizen is this net savvy or very highly programming oriented developer who would still like to leverage, you know, Python. We have extension for VBScript, JavaScript, Python, PowerShell, so that they want to, induce some more advanced use cases and complexities. They have that experience, so that both are available the developer experience standpoint. So citizen as well as netizen developer experience.
That's an excellent term, netizen developer. And I'm sure there are many netizen developers listening. So for them and for citizen developers, maybe, you know, if they want to start with Automation Edge, how do they do that? And what skills do they need generally to start? And how can they start with your early versions?
Great question. I know that has been something that has been a differentiator for everyone around there, where if you see if a banking customer or an insurance customer, they would say, we don't want to involve IT, right? That IT business alignment and conflict always exists. So that's why we have a way of having a citizen developer using our free trial. It's available on our website.
Right.
We call it as freemium, which is available. They can start building bots. It's available on the cloud. If they don't want, have local infrastructure, and they'll get the entire studio with that citizen developer experience to use it. And then for netizen developer experience, we give another version which has got the entire stack of extensions that they want to have with programming capabilities. And then we offer it for 30 days, in exception 60 days also, so that it's the usage also can be free initially, and they can deploy them on production, and then they start paying us and we'll activate the license behind the scene. We have YouTube channel. We have academy, we have community. Skills are pretty much, varying. Like I said, initially for our citizen developer, pretty much a business system analyst can go ahead and start building our bots for their department. But for a netizen developer, we're looking at primarily JavaScript, PowerShell, Python for advanced use cases around AI, ML. We provide those extensions.
Okay. Excellent. So for people listening and, they want to reach out to you, Shiva, how can they connect with you?
Sure. Yeah. I'm pretty active on social media. So professionally, I can be found on LinkedIn or on our website. If you want to reach me anytime, they can message me. And personally, I also have hobbies. I'm an actor. So I do theater. In Houston, my father was a theater actor, so I inherited some of his genes. Okay. So we have a channel, Dil Ki Baat, which is storytelling, something coming out of the heart, which is a Facebook channel, which have 5 million followers, believe it or not. And we have done a lot of short films, and I'm also doing feature films and theater. And storytelling is on both sides. Automation has a story to tell the customers, and then and they can reach out to me also on the personal side. And I'm more than happy to share some of my work on the acting stage.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know that you had a secret life like that with 5 million followers. That's amazing. But yeah, Shiva, we need more storytellers like you in the automation space. Thank you for sharing the story of Automation Edge. It was great having you. Thanks for spending time with us today.
Same here, Nandan. It is a pleasure talking to you. Anytime I think you want to know more, or your listeners would like to more automation, they know how to reach me or us. And I'm looking forward for more conversation like this, Nandan.
Thank you for joining the Bot Nirvana podcast. Appreciate if you can leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Catch the show notes on botnirvana.org. While you're there, feel free to explore more automation ideas, tutorials, tools, and more. See you next time.